And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with y'all for the next 2 hours on today's show. We will recap another epic game in the NBA playoffs. The Knicks overcoming a 22-point fourth quarter deficit to take down Cleveland in game one out east. We'll also preview game two between the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Can San Antonio go up 2-0 on the road? We'll get into the Dallas Mavericks decision to fire Jason Kidd. Plenty of NBA on the brain. Plus some Longhorn football chatter. Anonymous SEC coaches sounding off about Texas. Are they right? And Paul Feinbaum had a few things to say about the Longhorns as well. Got some NFL chatter, the BBK news, a conversation with our Texas insider Chip Brown of Horns 24/7, and so much more. We are locked, we are loaded, and we are ready to roll on a hump day edition of the show. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Wednesday with us. How are you today, my man?
I'm doing great after the light show of last night. Wow. Lightning, winds, had some furniture knocked off my little patio outside. Yeah, it was, you know, my wife told me 16-mile-an-hour winds. I'm like, I don't think so. Not to move the size of the plant that I had and knock that thing over. That thing is filled with dirt, and it's probably about a 20-gallon pot. And, dude, that thing was turned over. I said, it's going to get turned over. She goes, oh, it's only going to be 16-mile-an-hour winds. It was howling last night through this valley here. And the lightning, and I mean, it was, I didn't hear so much of the rain, but the lightning, I saw it. I mean, it lit up the room, and it lit up my bedroom all night. This was into the early mornings.
It was, you know, a light show, not just lightning. It was an entire display in the sky.
That was something last night. It really was. And expect a little bit of that. We're going to get a little bit of rain today, but once again, this evening, sort of like yesterday. Yesterday, you know, all day it was close. It was hot and humid yesterday. And then all of a sudden towards the evening, you could tell it was about to happen. It may have to be similar. So be ready for some rain, maybe some flash flooding. So, hey, turn around. Don't drown when you get out there and think that it's going to happen. Be careful. Just turn around. Don't try to go through it. You only need so much to get that car moving. So do be careful, folks out there. It's going to rain over the next couple of hours again. So, and once again, never complain about rain in Central Texas. Just go through it, understand what it's all about. It could come in a hurry, but it could leave in a hurry too. As I said yesterday, I was thinking, well, it's going to rain sometime during the day. Dude, it never rained. It just stayed hot and humid. I went out and played some golf, and still not quite there since the event, since Thursday. I thought, okay, over the weekend, you've been sitting on your rear end. You're ready to go play some golf. I took my early bird yesterday. I got to Hat Creek. I had my nuggies. And then I took my early bird, BK, and I'm going to tell you, I'm still tired. I'm tired. I mean, I'm not sore because the early birds work for that, but just being tired, the stress and stuff from last week, but it happens every year. So I'm trying to figure out, why is this happening to me? All I did was sit around during the weekend, but it's just what you do, you know, that whole event of doing that thing. And especially for the last time, I can't believe I get tired. I'm like this old man that's thinking that I'm like 30, you know, I'm not 30. It wears me out, and I can't figure out why. Why does that wear you out? Why does stress wear you out? Where it does.
Well, not only did you have stress from planning the 25th annual Mullet Open, you also got stuck in the bathtub at the hotel.
Okay. All right.
I think that moment added some more stress to your plate, and maybe that's what's weighing on you here this week too.
I'm still hearing about that. You took a tub in a filthy tub at the hotel. I'm like, they have people to clean that. What do you mean? What do you think? I walked in there and there was a number of cockroaches in it. It was clean as clean could be. So let's get over that. You're allowed to take a tub. That's why they have a tub at a hotel. You're allowed to take a tub.
Look, I think you're weird for taking a bath at a hotel. That's just not my thing, but you're not alone. But the weird part of the story, and what makes this a story, is the fact that, you know, you got stuck in there and had to drain all the water and basically flop your way out like a fish out of water.
No doubt, man. That is the second time. One in Arlington, one in the Austin area. So, for this point on, going by myself, asking for a handicap room. It's hard for me to say, do you have a handicap room? And people see you walking around, they see you with your golf stuff on. They're like, you're not handicapped. Well, yeah, I am. Once I get on my back, I'm like a little turtle that has to roll itself back. That is exactly what I felt like. I felt like a turtle trying to flip myself over. Somebody flipped me on my back. I got to take my neck out and flip myself over. That's just awful. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you. We do appreciate what you do for us each and every day. To you and your families, please be safe out there.
Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of flops, how about the Cleveland Cavaliers last night? What a flop for them in the fourth quarter at Madison Square Garden. Man, if you thought game one between the Spurs and Thunder on Monday night was good, how about what we got as an encore in the Eastern Conference Finals last night in New York City? The Knicks overcoming a 22-point fourth quarter deficit to come back and beat the Cavs in overtime, 115 to 104, the final. Buck, perhaps your luckiest, I mean, most impressive gold star lock in the history of this show. You had the Knicks covering the 6.5. They were dead in the water for most of the night, and somehow, some way, they found a way to get this one done. Cleveland threw the Knicks a lifeboat, really a life yacht, and the Knicks took advantage, and they have a 1-0 lead in this best of seven series.
Yeah, and Cleveland has gone through this, you know, a seven-game series. They battled against Toronto where they got embarrassed and they had to battle back. It's like they've been through all of this stuff before, but they find ways to come back. I don't think this series is over with. You know, I just didn't like – I don't know. Was that enough to keep you totally down last night? Could be for James Harden. He's got to try to cover Brunson, which that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I was just like sick him after. I was like sick in a pit bull after somebody.
It was the second largest blown lead in a fourth quarter in NBA playoff history. At one point, the Cavs had a 99.9% chance to win, according to ESPN analytics. Teams trailing by 22 points or more in the fourth quarter of a playoff game since 1997 were 1-594 entering yesterday. And it wasn't like 22 at the very start of the fourth, which, look, that would have been a colossal collapse too. But it was 22 with 7 minutes and 49 seconds left, and they gave it all up.
Yeah, I mean, we all understand about James Harden trying to play defense. But Donovan Mitchell didn't. That guy kind of no-showed at the end too. Where the hell was that dude?
I don't know. He took, I think, one shot down the stretch. His last made field goal was with 8 minutes left in regulation. So he didn't do anything during the collapse in the fourth quarter. And then in overtime, he didn't do anything either. And it was, I mean, it takes a village to have a collapse like that. And obviously, you give the Knicks credit. They had to make the plays to get back into the game and force overtime and obviously win it in that extra period. But
I'm glad Cleveland's coach kept the two timeouts to himself and took them home with him last night.
I don't even know who to blame first. I mean, you probably start with Kenny Atkinson because, he just didn't do anything to stop the bleeding, didn't take a timeout. Didn't make any adjustments, just let the Knicks do whatever they want when they had the ball. And then the Cavs offense had clearly stagnated. They were trying to deflate and take the air out of the ball and just coast to a win. And that didn't work. So the coach deserves a ton of blame. I mean, James Harden was being targeted on every single possession. He couldn't stop a nosebleed last night. He was horrible. And that's not new. We know James Harden's not a good defender, but at some point, if you're the Cavs, you got to adjust to that, either take Harden off the floor or double team somebody or do something different. And then Donovan Mitchell, like you said, he did his best disappearing act. Like, it takes a village to blow a lead like that. And everybody on Cleveland, from the coaching staff to the players, they all fell apart at the worst possible time.
Yeah, you just can't take two timeouts with it home when a comeback happens like that. That's you use those timeouts. I don't care if you use them back to back, but can't leave them like, and then try to explain to people, I wanted to have a timeout, and a coach, you had two. I don't think you knew how many timeouts you had. I don't think you know what you were doing there. You just panicked.
Well, here's Kenny Atkinson. I'm glad you brought that up. Here was his answer in the post game, similar to what you just said. Atkinson was asked, like, hey, man, why didn't you take a timeout while the Knicks are going on that crazy run? Here was his response.
Yeah, well, I like to hold my timeouts. I mean, I didn't want to get one timeout at the end of the game, 1 or 2-point game. and try to hold them, you know.
That dude didn't know what was going on. That is such a BS answer. And I know the people, the fans have got to be. If I'm a player on the team, I'd be upset. Coach, you don't play. You're not out there running around trying to guard Brunson, but you have the ability to call timeout when we need a timeout. You don't take those to your Monday night poker game with you. Those don't get to go. That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Your staff, not only the head coach, but the assistant coach has got to be for blame. That's a staff problem right there.
Yeah. I mean, what would you rather have, a timeout at the end of the game or a game one win? Seriously, his decision to not take timeouts to stop the bleeding, to take James Harden out of the game, to come up with something to slow down Jalen Brunson as he was taking over, that is what cost Cleveland. Like,
two timeouts.
You're right. He had two. It's not like he had one and he's like, I'd like to save this one towards the end just in case. Even then, I'd be like, dude, burn your timeout. You got to stop this. That's more important than being able to advance the ball in the final moments of a game. But he had multiple timeouts left, and he's just sitting on them.
That's a lack of preparation. That's that deal when you get with your staff and you talk about, here's what's, you know, those are scenarios that you're supposed to, as a coach, in that high level of basketball, and especially to where you've gotten to, the finals of the Eastern Conference, those are things that you and your coaching staff, while your players are out playing catchy catch or shoot around, you guys are sitting in the office talking about, okay, we got 2 minutes to go, we got two timeouts. This is a comeback's happening. Okay, we use timeout right here. You should know those situations. That's like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and Kenny Atkinson has done a tremendous job, right? I mean, yes. This is the first time the Cavs have been in the East Finals since LeBron left, and they're on a tremendous run right now. And obviously the series isn't over, but I wonder if the Cavs lose this series, and let's say it's a pretty short series now because of that, I wonder if they consider making a move at the top. Like, that was that bad of a loss. That was that bad of a coaching decision, or just a repeated string of coaching decisions, to where even though the Cavs are in the NBA's Final Four, I can see somebody in the front office being like, this is not the guy who can lead us to a championship. We need to make a change right now.
Yeah, that was too simple of a situation not to know that you had two timeouts, that you went home after that game, after being up 22 points, and you ended up with two timeouts in your pocket. That doesn't make any sense to me. I know one thing. If I'm him and I get to keep my job, the guy who is sitting beside me, who's my assistant to the assistant, you know, manager, that dude's getting fired. Somebody's getting fired.
Someone's getting canned for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody's getting canned for that.
Yeah, we'll see if the Cavs can bounce back. Game two tomorrow at the Garden. But
the equipment guys, somebody's going down for that. Somebody had to be able to say, Coach, we have two timeouts. This is an avalanche going on right here. We need to stop this. Or they didn't tell him, or they're saying, well, hell, you're the head coach. You're the one that calls the timeouts. You should know that.
Yeah, that's on the coach right there. I mean, you're right. You've got a staff for a reason. Those guys should be helping you out with something. Right. But the head coach, he gets paid the most. He's the guy in charge. He's the guy who's standing up the entire game. He's got to do something to realize that, okay, things aren't going well. We've got to change it up before we blow this lead. And he...
And you know, Donovan Mitchell, I thought, I mean, that guy's from New York. I'm thinking, oh, this guy's not going to let this happen. He got a 22-point lead. He's in the fourth quarter. He's going to do his thing and put it away. I'm like, where is that guy? Is that guy on the court anywhere?
That's a fair question. Here is Kenny Atkinson leaving the Garden, taking home all of his timeouts last night. Amazing. Oh, and just brutal. Another horrible game for James Harden's playoff legacy. And I mean, the Knicks were attacking him. Like, Mike Brown, the head coach of the Knicks, said in his post-game press conference, yeah, we were attacking him. It's not like he was trying to be coy about it. It's like, no, we were going after him. We know he's not a good defender. We know Jalen Brunson was making life miserable for him. And we're like, well, until Cleveland's going to do anything to stop it, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. And everybody in the arena, everybody watching all around the world knew what the Knicks were trying to do, except for Kenny Atkinson. The one guy who could actually stop it was the only guy who didn't realize that maybe I should stop it.
Yeah. Hey, guess what they're going to do the next time they play you? They're not going to wait till the fourth quarter to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it was a historically bad collapse. Also a historically bad – we won't deep dive into the analytics, but there are some numbers out there that say, like, James Harden played the worst quarter of defense we've ever seen in an NBA postseason game.
Yeah, but we'll deep dive into – your pockets when I gave you people a winner. I want winners.
Well done by you last night, sir. You had 100,000 units on the New York Knicks covering the 7.5. I think I said 6.5 earlier. The line was 7.5. And that was maybe the most improbable cover of all time. Again, down by 22.
That was not supposed to happen.
No, down by 22 with less than 8 minutes to go in regulation. Not only do they win, but they cover a 7.5-point line and win by 11. What a start for the NBA's conference finals. Obviously, if you're a Cavs fan, you're heartbroken. If you're a Knicks fan, you're ecstatic. If you're just a neutral basketball fan who, you know, doesn't really have much rooting interest with these four teams that are left, man, you have been treated to some sensational basketball over these last couple of games. Two overtime games, three combined overtimes. Obviously, game one between the Spurs and the Thunder went to double OT, and so many twists and turns. This is what playoff basketball is supposed to be about, and it's been a joy to watch, and hopefully it continues tonight with game two in OKC.
Yeah, and I see the Mavs had enough of Jason Kidd's act, too. Bye. See you. Can you imagine Brunson with Cooper Flagg together? Oh,
that'd be fun. Well, could you?
Oh, that would be unreal.
Well, it's hard to play that game, right? And yeah, I know Mavs fans are frustrated with the fact that they had Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic and let them both go for basically nothing, right? Jalen Brunson left in free agency. The Knicks paid him a lot of money, but yes, the year before Brunson hit free agency, he and his dad basically went to the Mavs front office and were like, hey, we're asking for this. And it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a max contract. It was a very fair, reasonable amount of money. But the Mavs were like, nah, we don't think you're worth that. Go prove it. Jalen Brunson did, ends up signing with the New York Knicks.
Been proving it ever since.
It was a huge miss. They had Luka and Jalen Brunson on the same team. Obviously, the Luka trade's the one that got more of the headlines, and Mavs fans are still hurt and bitter about it to this day, and I don't think that's changing anytime soon. And, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Look, the Mavs wouldn't get Cooper Flagg. Like, if they still had Jalen Brunson and Luka, they wouldn't have been bad enough to win the lottery to end up with Cooper Flagg. So,
but in your mind, do you understand it's only a matter of time before they screw that one up?
It's hard not to think that way if you're a Mavs fan. It's like we just literally let two of the best players in the NBA right now walk for nothing. We drafted both of them in the same draft, by the way.
Wow.
Remember, Jalen Brunson was a second-round pick. Luka was the Mavs' first-rounder. I guess they traded on draft night to get him. And then in the second round, they got Jalen Brunson, a steal. And what do they get? A decrepit Anthony Davis who's not even on the team anymore. That was basically what they got for both of those players combined.
It's just a matter of time. And they're talking about Jason Kidd going and them cleaning house and getting that whole staff and that organization back together the right way.
Right. Well, that was the big move in the NBA, not affiliated with the playoffs. The Dallas Mavericks parting ways with head coach Jason Kidd. Kidd, by the way, had 4 years and $40 million remaining on his contract. Kidding. Yeah. I mean, he got an extension after the Mavs made the NBA Finals in 2024, he got another extension last offseason because the Knicks, funny enough, remember the Knicks had fired Tom Thibodeau. They were trying to interview Jason Kidd, and the Mavs are like, no, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to give Kidd more money so he stays here. So that's why he's got so much time and dollars left on his deal.
$40 million still left.
Yeah, I mean, the Mavs, they changed. They hired a new team president. They hired a new general manager. Funny enough, Jason Kidd wanted to be the team president. He didn't get that opportunity. And the guy who did ends up firing him.
Man, oh, man.
So, yeah, Masai Ujiri, who was the architect of that Toronto Raptors championship team with Kawhi Leonard a few years ago, he's now running the show in Dallas. And he felt like the Mavs needed to go in a different direction. I mean, Kidd had some great years. Mavs made the finals in 24. They made the Western Conference Finals twice in his 5 years. But you know, a lot of this goes back to the Luka trade. Like, at the time, nobody really knew if Jason Kidd was involved in the decision. Everyone kind of blamed the GM, Nico Harrison, and the ownership and this, that, and the other. But as time went along, we found out that Jason Kidd was involved in that deal.
Sure.
And he kept telling Mavs fans, like, just get over it. Get over it. Move on. Move on. And I think the fan base started to sour on him. And clearly the Mavs, you know, they underachieved this year. And
Yeah, they truly want. They truly don't want to screw up the Cooper Flag thing. They want to build around that guy and find a way not to end up giving away really good players. They just don't want to do that anymore. They finally come to the – I'm saying they finally come to the point, but I don't know. I don't know if it is. We'll see who becomes the head coach.
Right. Well, they got better people. I mean, I trust the team president now. I trust the general manager that they hired. Obviously, time will tell if the Mavs got these right. But, I mean, just going in a completely different direction. Look, the Mavs owner, Patrick Dumont, I mean, again, he's the guy who signed off on the Luka trade. So people are not happy with him at all. But he's doing some damage control. And he's, I think, trying to get back into the good graces of Mavericks fans by, hey, we got rid of Nico Harrison the way y'all wanted. We got rid of Jason Kidd the way y'all wanted.
We can throw the blame on Jason Kidd. He knew a lot more than you guys thought.
Yeah. Also, we're still trying to move the team to Vegas, but don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I'm doing all of these things that y'all asked me to do, so stop blaming me, please.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
We'll see. We'll see if it works. But yeah, Jason Kidd, I'm sure somebody will scoop up Jason Kidd. He's been a head coach for, I think, three different teams already.
Oh, yeah.
And new team president, new GM, new direction for the franchise building around Cooper Flag. The Mavs have two first round picks this year. Now, one of them's Oklahoma City, so that's not going to be very high, but the Mavs have a top 10 pick. So chance to find some pieces to put around Cooper Flag in this historically good draft. And obviously Dallas, the worst team in the state of Texas right now. And they're hoping within a couple of years they can get back into the playoff conversation. Again, 2 years ago, this was a team in the NBA Finals.
I know.
And they literally turned the gun around and shot themselves.
Isn't that crazy?
By trading Luka and blowing the entire thing up. No, it didn't make any sense. Nobody else would have made that move. And well, that's why heads are continuing to roll in Big D.
Man, oh, man.
So there you go. Real quick, before we move off of the NBA, we'd love to see if you have a gold star lock for game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight. San Antonio in Oklahoma City.
I need to know the numbers there tonight.
The game two line is OKC minus 6.5, which is the exact same line as we had in game one on Monday.
Yeah, I'll take the 50,000-unit play on the Spurs.
Wow. Okay. I'll ask you again the same question I asked you during Monday's show. Are you picking the Spurs to win, or do you just think they cover and lose close?
I think they lose close.
Okay.
OKC doesn't have a choice, because if they lose this one, they lose the series. There's not going to be any of that. Down. There's not going to be any of that going to San Antonio and winning two. They're not. That's not going to happen.
You can't go down 0-2.
No.
Going to Central Texas, just can't.
No, because I think if they go down 0-2, then when they do come to San Antonio, Wimby has one of those games where we thought he had a game the other night. I think he has one even better than that.
Even better than that?
Yeah, I think he has one of those all-time Hall of Fame great games. If he's got them down 2-0 and he comes home to the home crowd, I think that guy goes off for close to maybe 50 or more.
He had 41-24 the other night. He's going to top that?
I think he tops that. If he gets them down 2-0, that group will be desperate. They'll be playing outside the box. They won't care what their coach, who's won them two championships, says. All those guys will be turned into individuals, and that'll screw them, because the Spurs will run them right out of the place.
What are you saying? If the Spurs win tonight, they're going to sweep the series or something?
I just know game three will be nasty. Back the first game back, they better win this one.
Oh, okay, it's going to be quite the scene in San Antonio for game three. I mean, that crowd has been incredible all postseason long.
Yeah,
it's
no
a long
matter
time.
What, it's going to be incredible. But if they're down 2-0 and they got a chance to just start putting daggers in them, they're going to do that.
That'd be crazy to see. Yeah, I think Oklahoma City evens up the score tonight. I would pick them to cover for what it's worth. Nobody cares about my gold star locks, but – I think Oklahoma City bounces back. The Spurs, they did what they needed to do. The series, I expect to be 1-1 coming back to Texas, and then you see if the Spurs can handle their business on their home court.
What if they do go 2-0? Do you think that's it?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it'll be a sweep. I don't think Oklahoma City is going to go down that easily, but I don't think Oklahoma City's very good, but I don't think the Spurs are the type of team that's going to blow a 2-0 lead. I just they're too good. They're too deep. They're too complete. They're too well coached. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, I think this is it's a big one for Oklahoma City tonight. There's no doubt.
Almost makes me want to get my flags out.
Do you have Spurs flags?
I have them upstairs in the attic. Yes.
Do you?
Yeah, I have two of those nasty things. I'm not bringing those out ever.
Okay. You're not talking about car flags. You're talking about like flags?
No, I'm talking about car flags. The one you roll up the window and it just sticks there. Those stupid little flags.
You're not a Spurs fan. You can't have those. You should give those away.
I was given those things years ago when I kept betting against them and losing.
You're a Sixers guy. Or your Sixers car.
Oh, my God. I would never be caught with one of those.
You don't want to tell people that you root for that team, right?
Oh, my God, no.
They suck. Get a Joel Embiid flag. I'll get you one of those. Just his face on a flag. You can have that going on your car.
Don't have to worry. He won't show up to the game anyway.
He probably won't show up on the flag either. He won't be there. He missed photo day for that. One other Gold Star Lock opportunity. The NHL Conference Finals start tonight. West Final Game 1, Vegas at Colorado.
I'll take the Avs for a 200,000 unit play.
Again, that's – I really hate these hockey bets because they're so easy.
What are they favored by, two goals or something?
They're minus 200 tonight. I'm giving you a 2-for-1. I'm sorry. I'm being mean today.
That's fine.
You're still taking it?
Yes.
All right. On the Colorado Avalanche tonight. There you go. I'm with you. All right. There you go. There's some NBA, some NHL conversation. We'll talk more Spurs a little bit later in the show. We will shift gears, though, and talk a little Texas football in a moment. Anonymous SEC coaches have given some thoughts on the Texas Longhorns in 2026. We'll read you what they had to say and debate if they are right. But before we do that, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, if you're seeking specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, you got the bad hip, bad shoulders, the bad knees, contact the experts at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, spinal care, trauma care, sports medicine, joint replacement, rheumatology, and more. Dr. Christopher Danny, Dr. Christopher Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. Their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Also, a shout out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction.
Oh, yeah.
We open up the show talking about some of the crazy storms that we had overnight here in Central Texas. If you were hit, reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. If you just want to make sure your roof is good to go for the next storm that we've got in Central Texas, reach out to our friends at Qualis. There were a lot of high winds. There was some hail around the area, stuff that can ruin your roof. Don't put this off. The roof's one of the most important parts of your home. It's the thing that keeps everybody safe. Don't ignore potential roofing problems. Qualis will come out to your place for absolutely free. Free inspections, free storm assessments. They'll let you know if something is wrong with your roof. If it is, hey, maybe it's a minor fix. It won't cost you a whole lot. If you don't get this checked out and then there's a big problem down the road, it's going to cost you a heck of a lot more money. You don't want to play games with your roof. Qualis is the best in the business. More than 700 five-star reviews online. They're not fly-by-night. They're not storm chasers. They've been around and they are going to stay around. They've got a great team here in Central Texas. They've got a great team up in the DFW Metroplex as well. A-plus rated by the BBB. They're fantastic people, the kind of guys that you trust, and their work is second to none. Reach out to them. Get your roof inspected for free. Plus, they're going to buy you a Texas Longhorns t-shirt just for having them out. They want your business, and they're going to earn it as well. 512-257-0033. That's their phone number, or you can find out more on their website, qualisgc.com. That's QualisGC.com.
My good friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company. I was at Belterra yesterday. Got my nuggies.
Nice.
Got my nuggies strawberry shake before I went to play a round of golf. You know what, BK? Warm nuggies, not just somebody threw them in the little cup and said, here's your half dozen nuggies. Enjoy yourself. They were warm, nice and warm, little barbecue sauce with them. Absolutely delicious. They've got nuggies, folks. They got big burgers. They got small burgers, little hats, little. They have small kid size shakes if you want those. I had a medium yesterday. Got after a little medium. I asked if somebody would throw a banana in there. They did. Oh, yeah. It was going on. Boy, my drive out to the golf course, talking about full and fulfilled, I was with my nuggies. Now, I didn't have any fries with it, but they got great fries at Hat Creek Burger. They have great everything there, folks. Over 30 locations throughout the state of Texas. Great playgrounds for kids and happy hour for the adults for sure. Enjoy the location nearest you. But the burgers are good. The fries are good. The shakes are fantastic. And the nuggies. I am now sold on the nuggies because there was a while back where I used to get nuggies at that place down there near you in Oak Hill. I don't even go near that place. I go around that place now. I never had burgers from there anyway, but they always talk about how great their nuggies are. Not so much.
McDonald's here? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the one. Right. That's that place I used to go and get that fake ice cream.
Billions and billions pissed.
Hey, billions and billions, and the ice cream machine never works.
Never works. Hat Creek Burgers, much better than
absolutely, man.
Golden Arches, that's for sure. And a quick shout out to CentexTickets.com. If you were looking for tickets to any sporting event coming up, we talked about the Spurs a moment ago. If you want to get to game 3 or 4 in San Antonio, Centex Tickets has you covered. Hey, Texas softball, the Austin Super Regional starts on Friday. You want to catch a game? Boom, CentexTickets.com. Longhorn Baseball, Texas will be hosting their NCAA Tournament Regional starting next weekend. You want to go? CentexTickets.com. They have you covered. Sports, concerts, Broadway shows, festivals, you name it. All the seats that you need in one place online at CentexTickets.com. Don't forget the promo code CentEx10. You type that in at checkout, you are going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase.
Now, all of a sudden, if you're interested in trying to get to the World Cup, I would start talking to Shelby because those things are going to disappear in a hurry. There are a lot of folks that aren't traveling all over the country, but we've got a couple events, I think, in Houston and in Dallas. Yep. And if they got them, believe me, they're going to be gone here very shortly because people aren't going to be flying all over. And if you can drive to these areas and these events, hotel rooms, gas, the whole works, talk to Shelby about getting tickets if you want to get to World Cup.
They've got your World Cup tickets. I'm looking at some online right now at CentexTickets.com. And, yeah,
they got to have a price on them. I got to believe that's just – I know – I mean, you can still get 10% off, but boy, I got to believe those things, the closer you get, the more they're going to be.
Yeah. 10% off of World Cup tickets. I mean, that's better than gold right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. Those are not cheap. The World Cup gets going in a couple of weeks. I think June 11th is the first day of matches. So it will be here before you.
And there is nothing like World Cup event going. I mean, even if you're not a big soccer fan, to be in a stadium where that goes on, I got a chance to take my son there, you know, in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. I've never been to an event like that. You know, I've been to concerts, been in ball games and stuff like that, but I've never sat in the stands when Argentina was playing. It was like nuts. My head is still pounding from the tambourines and the beats, and I don't think they had the Zuzu Gule or whatever those things were at that time. It's just – it was amazing. That's when I wanted to take my shirt off, and my son said, "No, Dad, you can't do that." I said, "Hey, come on." You know, I was 30-some years ago. You know, look at me. I can take it. They're like, "No." My son's like, "No, dude." I'm like, "Do you see these ladies here?" They said, "You don't look anything like those ladies. Don't do
it." Did they have their shirts off?
Oh, dude, they didn't have anything, barely had anything on from Argentina. They wore nothing. They wore nothing to the event.
Okay, I like that.
It was hot up in Dallas at that during the summer. Man.
At that time, it's always hot in Dallas. What do you mean?
It was awful.
Yeah. That's what was that instrument? What were you saying?
Vuvuzela or whatever. What was it called? The Boom Boom Zela?
Oh, the Vuvuzelas.
That horn, that ridiculous plastic piece of crap.
Yeah, those things are brutal.
Hear a bunch of that going on again.
Oh, yeah. That's how it goes. Welcome to the World Cup. Here in North America, matches in the U.S., some in Mexico, some in Canada. Should be a good time. USA, we're winning it all this year. No, we're not.
We're winning like the Cavs won last night.
Please don't say that. Please don't say that. All right, let's get to some Texas football conversation. So every year, Athlon Sports interviews coaches from around the SEC.
And they're generally first out of the block. Athlon's generally the first out of the block when it comes to magazines and stuff, too. They get going early.
Yeah, they do. And it's almost magazine season here on this show and for college football fans everywhere. But, yeah, I really enjoy this bit from Athlon Sports. I mean, they go around the SEC. They talk to coaches anonymously, and they ask them to give their honest thoughts on other teams in the conference. And because it's anonymous, you usually get the real stuff, right? Sometimes it's praise. Sometimes it's a little jealousy. Sometimes it's a little salty. Sometimes it's coach speak designed as compliments. Well, we've got some anonymous quotes from SEC coaches about Texas heading into 2026. We've got four of them here. We'll go one at a time. Some coaches clearly buying the Longhorns, others clearly with questions. We will start with this one. Quote, they made some bold moves. Obviously, there's a ton of money in that program. So you've got to feel like they made moves that they felt they had to make their program better. What's that going to look like after a loss or two? I don't know. End quote. So perhaps a insinuation that maybe Texas went out and got a bunch of mercenaries this year. And if the Longhorns face some adversity, this train might fly off the rails.
No, that's the nature of the game. Sorry, that's the nature of the game these days. Why be jealous if you don't have the money to do it? Sorry about that. That's too bad for you. I don't know why you're upset at mercenaries. It's not mercenaries. That's just what college football is all about. Just go ahead and give in to it. It's not, if you're going to cry, oh, I'm too poor, then you're probably not going anywhere. You're probably not going to the college playoffs. That means you're going to be about, I don't know, 12th or 13th in the SEC. Sorry. Well, I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. You knew somebody was going to make a comment about Texas's money, right?
Yeah, they always do.
I did mention the word jealous earlier. Look, calling a spade, Texas has money. They obviously used it to upgrade their roster. But like you said, that's how college football works in 2026. The Longhorns aren't the only team who spent a bunch of money to make their team better over the course of the offseason.
They don't spend money to make their team worse, you clowns.
Right. You can be broke. That's fine. Sorry your fan base doesn't support your school as much as the Texas fan base supports the Longhorns. I don't know what to tell you. Anonymous SEC coach right there. But what about
the second? Joey Freshwater. Thank you, Joey Freshwater, anonymous SEC coach.
No. If Joey is complaining about money, I mean, that LSU had the best portal class of all time.
I know. Yeah, it wouldn't be him.
They bought more players than Texas did. So I don't know. I don't know if these are always head coaches. I think a lot of these are assistant coaches. So I'd be very surprised if. And Joey Freshwater, he and Steve Sarkisian are also very close. So I'd be stunned if he was the guy making this quote right here. It just wouldn't make any sense if it was him.
I wouldn't ever be stunned by anything with that particular dude.
Maybe you're right there. But the second half of that comment was, what happens after a loss or two? Do you have any fear that this thing might crumble a little bit if Texas faces some adversity, maybe early in the season?
Yeah, once again, we talked about it yesterday with Chris. Adversity is 9-3, folks. That's adversity. That is 8-4 is a panic. 9-3 is adversity. You can still possibly make the playoffs and you can get it done in this conference at 9-3. Your fan base will still be okay if you get to the playoffs and win a couple games in the playoff at 9-3. They will absolutely surely have panic at 8-4. Sorry.
Well, I mean, that's not adversity. That's like looking at the whole season in a whole. Like, what if Texas loses to Ohio State again in week 2? What if Texas, God forbid, loses by 2 touchdowns to Ohio State in the second week of the year? Like, that's some adversity in the middle of the season. So are you worried that if that happens? Or remember, last year Texas lost its first 2 games against Power 4 opponents. What if they do that again this year? Like, is that what worries you, or something that worries you with this roster that has 40 some odd new players compared to 2025?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's done this before, that they've gone out and gotten players in it. They have experience doing this. It's not like, oh, this is the first year they've got such and such a great wide receiver. They've got a couple running backs. Now they're going to panic if they lose games. No, They've done this. They've been in this kind of situation. They got a head coach that's been around. He understands you don't panic. You just find a way to win the next game or the next game. But I still say you have to win game number two. I want to so bad, and I want this team and this program to win and beat Ohio State, because eventually there's just come a time that the Georgias and Ohio States, in order to not just get to a national championship, like I always say, just let the chips fall, get me to the game, and then let the chip. No, you have to win these games in order to win that particular game, BK, like you've said before. Right. You have to eventually win this kind of game in week number two and play the Georgias of the world and not just come close to them and have three good quarters and lose at the – you have to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, you had a chance to get to the national championship game, right, and you couldn't because of Ohio State. So you might not even get to that game if you can't beat types of teams. That's how it works. And yet, look, I guess I – like, generally speaking, I understand, okay. I mean, we've seen it in college football. Like, LSU spent a lot of money last offseason. They lost some games early on. They totally fell apart. Brian Kelly gets fired in the middle of the season. I mean, that's not the only example where, all right, teams invest a lot and it just doesn't work and things collapse on a team. Now, Texas last year, again, they lost their first two real games that they played. I know they were 3-2, but the three wins were against, you know, non-conference cupcakes. They lost their first two real games that they played. Things could have totally fallen apart for Texas. They went 7-1 in their final eight games of the year. So in a situation like that, obviously you don't want to start 2-2 this season, but they didn't crumble. They didn't, like, oh, we don't care what's going on here. We're just mercenaries. We're our money. This team was able to rally around one another and find a way to end the season strong and get back into the college football playoff discussion and end up winning 10 games. So I feel like the culture here is in a good enough spot. Arch Manning's not a me guy. He's a great leader. You know, Cam Coleman, by all accounts, hasn't come in here and been some diva. Like, we're not hearing about me guys with Texas right now.
Right.
Which leads me to think that now, if there is some adversity, and there probably will be, it's maybe the toughest schedule in college football that the Longhorns are playing this year. They're not going to wilt away at the first sign of things not going their way.
No, because they know it's a long season. They're in one of the best conferences in college football, and you can lose a game with playing nine teams in your conference. You can lose a game, but it's the way you handle that loss. I just don't want it to be in week two. Sorry.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And look, I think Sark kind of realized that, okay, this team needs to get off to a better start. Remember, he's talked about this openly a few times this offseason. He feels like he made a mistake with when he started his culture work. Now, whether you agree with that or not, and Steve Sarkisian, remember, he said he didn't start doing culture activities until June last year.
Yeah, and that's good for the team part of it, but the culture was that offensive line sucked. Sorry.
Well, Arch Manning sucked at the beginning of the year. Yeah, the run game sucked all year. They weren't ready to go for week one of the season. There's no doubt.
I don't know what culture would have done you with what you had. You had some deficiencies in the positions.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, whatever Sark feels like he needs to do, he needs to do to make sure that you're not playing catch up the second half of the season the way Texas was, where they had to be perfect over their final seven games of the regular season. And they went 6-1, which it's not that bad, but because they, again, started 3-2, that was enough to keep them out of the field.
I'm very much like you when it comes to all that culture talk. It wasn't your culture that got you losing those top really hard games. That had nothing to do with your culture. That was about your deficiencies at the run game, the offensive line, the young quarterback. You had some real problems that in order to succeed in this conference or really anywhere in college football, you had to fix. And it just wasn't fixable until they really got it going. I don't know if that had anything to do with your culture. Just that young quarterback was not ready for that. We wanted him to be what everybody thought he was going to be. Everybody had Texas as the number one team in the nation. You know, they fought back. Now your culture is the way you fought back, but that's not what lost you those games early. That your culture didn't lose. The positions lost you those games early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. But whatever it was, like Texas lost that Ohio State game, and there was a bit of a hangover effect from it that really lasted until the Oklahoma game, right?
Like you have to play some, you have to play some little sisters there for a while.
Well, they didn't look great in those little sister games. I mean, Sam Houston, they killed them. It was 55-0, but San Jose State in week two, UTEP in week three. It's like, clearly something's still not right here. So, yeah,
I'll just say this. If they go, if they, as much as they want to change, if once again, the P word, if that doesn't change and you see a bunch of that, BK, you're going to feel like somewhere down the line, because of that, they didn't get, that's the part, that's one of those parts that you and I talk about that people, they don't like to hear us talk about it. But if you don't straighten that out, that game that you really want to get to and where you really want to be at the end of the year, or forget it, in the beginning of the year, is going to screw you. You have to fix that. That's a problem that has to be fixed.
Yeah, that's period. Not culture. That's coaching.
Yes. Yes.
Do better.
That has to be fixed. Just do better there.
All right. Some of these other anonymous quotes from coaches in the SEC. Speaking of Arch Manning, we've got two Arch Manning quotes here. We'll start with this one. Quote, "I thought Arch got better as the season went on. Is he what he was unfairly hyped to be? Probably not, but I think he's a good, solid quarterback in this league," end quote. Your thoughts on what that anonymous
coach? I think he's better. I think now that you got, if you have a run game to go along with what he does, he is exactly what you need. Not just good enough, but if you're a run game and it's not all on his back and you can turn around and hand the ball off to these exceptional running backs, two or three of those type of guys, I think he'll be just fine. I think he's better. He'll be as good or better than advertised that people thought he was going to be last year, way too soon.
Yeah, I think this coach is partially right. I think the first half of his comment makes sense. I mean, Arch Manning absolutely got better as the 2025 season went along. There's no debate there. If you watch this team week over week, it was obvious. I mean, early in the year, young quarterback, some hesitation, missed throws, inaccuracy, inconsistency. It was clearly an adjustment period to him being the guy. And like you said, the expectations were absolutely insane. So the unfairly hyped part, it was absurd the way people were talking about Arch Manning going into his first season of being a starter in college football. But where I disagree and kind of echoing your sentiment, Buck, I mean, calling him just a good, solid quarterback in this league, that undersells him completely. I mean, when you watch the second half of last season, you saw flashes of something way bigger and way better than that. And NFL people, and this is a guy who is projected to be the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft. You don't get that if you're just a good, solid quarterback in your conference.
Yeah, and the running game still wasn't that great at that part of the – I mean, it never got to be anything but average. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, with something a little bit above average, he's going to be even better than what we saw, I truly believe. You know, they've done things where – I mean, they've changed the whole defensive – just about the damn defensive staff. So that's – you're making all the moves in the right way. You're being more aggressive on defense, which means I think the head coach is telling us I'm going to be more aggressive on offense.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't hire a more aggressive defensive coordinator and not be aggressive offensively, I don't believe. I don't think that works.
Right. I'm with you on that. I mean, I think down the stretch, Arch Manning was one of the best quarterbacks in college football last year. And I think we all expect him to take another step this year. You know, just naturally progression and development, of course, going into his second season as QB1, but also the talent around him is so much better.
Yeah, and I don't expect to see it in game four. I expect to see it in the first two or three series of game one, where it's just different. It just looks different.
I do too. Yeah, calling him a good, solid quarterback in this league, I think that's totally underselling Arch Manning, again, based on what he did towards the end of last season. One more quote about Arch, this one a little bit more positive from a different anonymous coach in the conference. Quote, "Manning is going to be just fine. I think he did such a good job of managing it, but he was put in a tough situation. It was literally a Heisman or bust situation for a kid who hadn't played yet, but he's super talented. He does everything right. He prepares hard. He'll be just fine," end quote. Feels pretty rational to me.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. That's probably what all those coaches should have said. He's more than a solid quarterback with the right people around him, and with a year under his belt, he should be better than fine. He should be that guy that NFL teams are thinking is going to be the number one pick, and this team should have an awful lot of success.
Who do you think, which coach do you think had the positive Arch Manning quote, and which coach do you think had the super negative Arch Manning quote. I'm going Mike Elko with the negative one.
Are you?
Yeah, he's still butthurt over Arch Manning, really beating him 2 years in a row. Remember, Arch scored a touchdown in the 2024 game in College Station, even when Quinn Ewers was the starter. So I'm going Elko for the negative.
I think the positive comes from the Tennessee coach because he knows about quarterbacks.
You going Josh Heupel with the positive?
I'm going Heupel. He's kind of basic. You know, he's not – he doesn't really stir the pot that much unless it's to cook a meal for himself. Other than that, he's pretty good, you know. He knows about quarterback play. He understands how good that kid could be. He'd like to have him.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Will Stein, former Lake Travis offensive coordinator, now the coach.
You're keeping it kind of basic there, aren't you?
Keeping it local here.
Speaking about not stirring the pot coming into the league.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, look, I agree. I mean, the thing that impressed me the most about Arch Manning last year was his composure, right? Like, everybody was dunking on the kid. You had articles, you had tweets, you had posts, you had podcast episodes and videos. Everyone just dunking on this kid nonstop. And we're talking about a kid in college with the weight of the world on his shoulders and everybody just taking shots at him left and right. And he was able to just ignore that. And
he took the shots well, and he took them, and he took the criticism.
Yeah. Yeah, like he never threw his teammates under the bus. He never got dramatic. He never got super rattled. At least he didn't show that he got super rattled. He just kept finding ways to improve. And, I mean, this guy works hard. He prepares. He takes coaching. He's respected in that locker room. I mean, talent gets you so far, but preparation and work ethic, like, that's what Arch Manning has. And, I was impressed, by the way.
Yeah, that dude.
He at 32 could not handle that the way he handled it at 20.
And yeah, he's been around this program. He understands the people that are around him. He's not gonna go outside the box and act differently if something goes wrong. I mean, not everything goes right in your life. I mean, I'm pretty sure he handles a lot of things the same exact way. I'm not going to overreact to it. People want a young guy like that to lose his mind. They want him to make statements that you can say, "Oh, I knew he was a piece of crap. I know he couldn't handle this kind of pressure. He's not like his uncles. He's not the same guy." That's what people wanted, and he didn't give them that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. People were just trying to push him to the edge, push him over the edge, and it just it didn't happen. So that's the sign of a good teammate and a good leader right there.
Sure.
He absolutely, after every game, could have said, "Y'all are mad at me? Did you see the guys blocking in front of me today? Yeah. Y'all are mad at me? We ran it for 1.8 yards a carry? Y'all are mad at me? The defense is giving up 38 points to Mississippi State? Y'all are mad at me?"
No, he never gave it. "I could have gone this school, or I could have gone there." You know, some guys, that'll slip out of their mouths. It just went about his business, kept his head down, and went about his work.
Yeah, 100%. Last but not least, one final quote from anonymous SEC coach talking about the 2026 Texas Longhorns. This one more team generic. Quote, "On paper, I think they're the team to beat in the SEC. They might be preseason number one again," end quote.
That's coming from the coach from OU for sure. That's fire hose. That's fire hose.
No, no, no. That's Kirby Smart, dude. That's definitely Kirby Smart.
Oh, what is he trying to get this bulletin board material up and ready to go, huh?
100%. He's got a chance to anonymously say that we're not the team to beat in the conference. And he's like, "Did y'all see what they said about you? These random guys in Athlon Sports, they're saying, even though we've won the last two SEC titles and three of the last four, that somebody else is the team to beat in this league. Are you going to take that?"
They're going down this year.
Who's taking them down?
The Horns are taking them down. We'll see them in championship game.
Okay. So they're going to make it to Atlanta, and then Texas gets some revenge against them?
I don't know. We don't want to play the revenge game. We just want to play the win game. I mean, we don't need any revenge. We just need to win one. How about winning one?
Yeah. Look, if you're Texas, you take a national championship however you could get it, right? You don't care who's in your way. Just find a way.
They don't necessarily have to be the ones in the way, anyhow.
Of course. But it would be a lot sweeter if, like, you beat Ohio State in week two and then you beat Georgia, whether it's in the playoff or the SEC championship game, like, on this path at some time, you're able to beat the two teams that have been the thorns in your side and prevented you from these opportunities in recent years.
Yeah, we like that. But along the way, if it didn't happen with Georgia, you wouldn't mind it anyway if it was somebody else.
No, I don't – again, I don't care. Like, you win a conference championship.
You really don't care to see them, do you?
No, I'd rather not. But it would make it sweeter. You don't – like, if you somehow were playing Georgia in the national championship game this year, that'd feel a lot better beating them than beating Indiana, you know? Again, you take it either way, of course. But, like, you don't have any beef with Indiana. You got beef with Georgia.
I don't want to see them. I don't even want to see them. I don't want to see them.
That's a total 180. Literally 2 minutes ago, you said, we're taking them down, and now I don't even want to see them.
We're taking them down if we have to face them. I just don't want to see them. I'd rather for that to be Mississippi or somebody. I don't want to see them.
Doesn't sound like you think we're taking them down then.
I don't want to. I don't want to have that chance of having to take them down. No, thank you. Give us some. Hey, I want to get to that spot, but it doesn't necessarily have to be them. Hey, it can be UCLA.
See, here I am. Well, that'd be a story if UCLA got there. We're not at 76 teams in the playoff yet, so I don't think UCLA is going to get there. It's in the college basketball tournament here.
I want Cignetti instead.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I thought you played wide receiver. I didn't realize you were a DB. All the backpedaling you're doing here. I was always wrong about you, my man.
No, I want to beat them at some point. It just doesn't have to be this year.
Okay.
All right. But you know what? Because they're not officially on that schedule, but there's one group from Columbus that is on that schedule pretty early.
Yeah.
I want that
one. Guaranteed. You're guaranteed to get Ohio State. You're not guaranteed to get Georgia this year.
There won't be any of that. Oh, that's right. We don't have to lose. We can lose to Ohio State, but we can move. I don't even want to think. No, I don't even think like that. That's got to be a win. That can't be no, we still have a chance of making it, even if we lose. I don't want to hear that kind of talk at all. I just want to know how you're going to beat that group.
Well, do you agree with this anonymous coach, by the way? On paper, Texas is the team to beat in the SEC?
Yes.
Okay.
I do believe that.
All right. It might be preseason number one again. That was the second half of that quote, which nobody wants that.
Yeah, and they should be over that hump and that hurdle too. That's just a number. They're just picking you there. You have to go out. Obviously, you know you had to go play and win the games in order to do that. That should be a culture lesson learned last year because you got picked that, you know?
It ain't a Texas only a thing. Since 2000, there's only been two teams who have been preseason number one who have gone on to win the national championship. I mean, think about all the titles Nick Saban won. He only did it one time. He was preseason number one a bunch. All the times he won it, except for one, were years where he wasn't.
Why are they putting that on the horns anyway? Well, Cignetti's group is the one. That's the guy who can Google me. That guy's a winner all the time. He went undefeated. He hadn't lost a game. Why comes he's not number one?
Google me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They did well in the portal.
It'll be Texas or Ohio State who's number one. If I had a vote, I'd pick Ohio State, not just because I'm scared of the crazy history. Like, I think Ohio State's earned it. They were better last year. They have Heisman finalist coming back at quarterback. They've got the best offensive player maybe in the country with Jeremiah Smith coming back. Like,
a great running back, just a sophomore.
Yeah, like, I would vote for – I legitimately think they are the best team in college football going into this season. You could always make the case for the defending champ to be number one again. I don't think Indiana's going to be – I think they'll be in the top five or six, but I'd be very surprised if they are given the nod as preseason number one. They're still – it's still because it's Indiana. Like, if Alabama was in the exact same situation, like, they'd be preseason number one, no question. But because they're still Indiana, they're not going to be that team this year.
Yeah, that group's bought some players too.
They got more money coming in now than they did before last year. You know that. All right. Well, we'll ask Chip Brown about this. We'll talk all things Texas Longhorns football, baseball, softball with Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 in a moment. But before we chop it up with our Longhorns insider, Buck, how about another round of sponsor shout outs?
Hello to Jay and the gang over at Sue Patrick with the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel. They got collectibles, they got accessories, they've got tons of Texas themed items, books, games, puzzles, you name it, candles. They have it at, of course, Sue Patrick. A wide variety of men's and women's clothing. Ladies, all your wonderful gear is in for the spring and summer. Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders, $59 or more. And how about this free curbside pickup? And they got plenty of parking space at 5222 Burnett Road. Jellycat Headquarters, more information, 50 years of service in Central Texas. Go to SuePatrick.com. Oh, my goodness. That helmet that you're wearing, that's even hard to call a hat. That's like a helmet. That thing, that's going to cause problems right there. Make sure to take that head. That's the headgear you take to any of your rivals. Away. Hey, you take that away. You don't wear that at home. You wear that at away games. You show them what kind of man you are showing up to a stadium near you with that. That would be pretty good at Tennessee, I got a feeling.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you'd stand out if you took this to Knoxville for that SEC opener. That's
They would be so pissed.
I think this – call this a helmet. I feel like you could do some damage with this Bevo on the front of this lid.
I think pack some lead in the front with that thing.
Love our friends at Sue Patrick. Also, a shout-out to McCall Custom Homes. If you want to upgrade your home, reach out to our guy, Mike McCall, and his great team at McCall Custom Homes. It's a father-son duo with more than four decades of experience here in Central Texas, and they do everything from kitchen remodels to bathroom renovations to outdoor areas to custom home builds. If you want to start from scratch and build your dream home from nothing, reach out to Mike McCall and his great team at McCall Custom Homes. A-plus rated by the BBB, fully licensed and insured. It's top quality at affordable prices. Fantastic people, big Longhorn fans, big supporters of this show, the guys that you want to go with when you are trying to add on or build a home. 512-633-9580. That's Mike McCall's direct line. McCallCustomHomesATX.com. That is their website. Free estimates to Bucky and BK listeners. Take advantage today with McCall Custom Homes. They build value into your home.
And of course, TheRideProject.com, 2,000-mile journey for our good friend Matt King across this country. And what it's all about is going to have impact in every community throughout the nation. It's not about comfort. It's about commitment. And Matt King is committed to raising $1 million and giving away $1 million along the ride. And folks, as we get closer and closer to this ride, he's needing your help. And all you have to do is go to therideproject.com. Find out information. We're not just us telling you. Find out more by going to therideproject.com and finding out all about the information and what Matt King has done and will continue to do throughout not only the state, but across this country. It's therideproject.com for more information on that great ride. 2,000-mile ride.
Yes, indeed. Getting going next week.
Yes, indeed.
TheRideProject.com. Also, a quick shout out to our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. Two Austin area locations. If you want to make your sleeping problems go away, if you want to make your snoring go away, if you've got a partner who snores, reach out to our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. You're going to get a free consultation if you mention this show. You're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study if you mention this show. Don't ignore your sleeping problems. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. It can be a serious health issue. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White lost his life to undiagnosed sleep apnea. You don't want that to be you or somebody you love. Please go check this out. Get your sleeping issues fixed forever. It's not just CPAP. They've got mouth guards and oral appliances and a bunch of other ways they can help you sleep the way that you deserve. SleepCycleCenters.com. At SleepCycleCenters.com for more information and to schedule that free consultation.